And it's time for a mailbag. Careful, Eric. You got to mute your volume. Otherwise, we'll be inseminating the results of a baseball game. We don't want Major League Baseball to think we're doing that. We have a mailbag question. What's the time frame for Bellinger to be in the big leagues, if at all, this season? That's from Dennis Zapata.
I'm thinking I put the over-under around April 25th, maybe.
What odds do you give me if I take the exact seas?
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you 1,000 to 1 odds on that.
And this is the True LA Podcast. This is the True Blue LA Podcast. I kind of said that as one word. True Blue, blah, blah. True Blue LA Podcast. I'm Jacob Birch. You are Eric Steven.
I am.
Clayton Kershaw is pitching right now. This is during Tuesday night's game. The ball seems to be carrying, because every fly ball seems to carry another 20 feet.
May or may not be favoring a leg injury of some sort. So we'll see, but...
As the sneak peek of the mailbag hinted at, Cody Bellinger called up way before I thought he would be.
Yeah. Well, we've sort of talked about this a little, like, you know, it's been sort of on everyone's mind, since spring training, really. Sort of stock answer was, look, you know, Adrian Gonzalez is here. He'd basically have to force his way onto the team by hitting really well, like probably mid-season sounded accurate, then, you know, someone would need to get hurt for him to be...
And we sort of hedged our bet that earlier. He was playing a lot in the outfield, and maybe if either the left field or the center field or the right field position weren't hitting up to snuff, maybe he could sneak his way in that
Yeah,
way.
Like, he was going to find a way here by, like, July or the All-Star break
because
or whatever.
He had to be, almost certainly had to be a near-everyday starter for him to get called up. He wasn't going to be a primary bench role.
Exactly. He being left-handed puts him on the right side of a the good side of a platoon. If it's that way, so he has a bit of an advantage there. But I agree with you. But so
and
that
on the non-platoon days, he could give Gonzalez a day off, et cetera, et cetera. Like he could work his way into 75-80% of that starts.
Where the opportunity came for him is just like the outfield just getting like. Kind of, I mean, not decimated. I mean, it's pretty, you know, the big injury is Jock Peterson injuring his groin on Sunday. So that's sort of gave the opening, really, for them to call him up. It wasn't, like, immediate, which made it a little bit weird, but not it's still understandable. So I guess the timetable, let's back up a little bit. They're still dealing with Franklin Gutierrez, who... You know, is just he's not going to play a ton anyway, but he's like the lefty masher, you know, part of a platoon starting 2 days a week kind of a guy and left. That's it, you know. Mm-hmm. He's still dealing with hamstring. He's like, he could have been activated by this, by the Arizona series, but they kept pushing him back. And then he got like hit in the elbow by a pitch. They sent him to Camelback Ranch to like, instead of a rehab game. He was getting at bats like a Camelback Ranch in simulated games, and he got hit by a pitch on the elbow, so that set him back. And then his hamstring like still feeling something, so he's like not ready like this week. They face two lefties this week, and then maybe like two next week. So they don't face one this weekend with the Phillies. So Dave Roberts was like, "Look, Gutierrez is next week, you know, at the earliest." So. They don't have that, like, sort of backup. Trace Thompson has been struggling. He was sent down. They brought up Brett Eibner the other day as, like, sort of the fifth outfielder of the group. He's a right-hander, so is Thompson. But when Peterson went down, that, like, took another left-hander away. So, like, ideally, what they needed was, like, a left-hander to fill in with, all, like, these other, like, Kike and Van Slyke and the other, like, the fill-in righties or whatever. So, but in the just basically the door opened up for Bellinger. Like They came up. He's starting today. He started against a left-hander in Ty Block. He's going to start again on Thursday against another lefty. They're giving him some rope here. You know, I think part of it was to take some pressure off. That just tell him right away, like, you're going to play. So that's what's happening. They brought him up. He's playing left field. We'll see tomorrow. They're put with a right-hander. They might put Bellinger in center with Tolles in left. Today, Kike is starting in center against a lefty. So it might be Bellinger, the guy who moves around. I was thinking he might be like left field, and then you'd put Tolles and Kike in center. But it might be Bellinger, the guy who switches back and forth. But bottom line is Bellinger's going to play mostly every day when he's up. It might not be like for good. You know, it might be like give him a trial run. Maybe when Peterson comes back, if Bellinger's not hitting, they send him back down to AAA for some more seasoning. Or if the best case scenario is if he's hitting great, you have your left fielder basically when Peterson comes back. So I think that's what they're looking for, just a nice little jolt here. They start at 9-11. He's not coming up to be the savior or to save anything or whatever, but good opportunity for him, and he was certainly hitting well enough. He's off to a great start with AAA, so very exciting. Very exciting day.
I know what you're talking about. It's the end of the fifth, just starting the sixth, and he still doesn't have a hit. I'm not very excited.
He's batting 0/0/0.
As it gets.
I'm trying not to react.
Yeah, neither. Same here. You're 10 seconds ahead of me on my feed. So
exactly. I'd be like, oh, wow, what a nice home run, you know, or something like that. And I don't want to ruin it for you, but also I don't want to, like, neuter my own reaction.
We also don't want to get a call from Major League Baseball letting us know that they consider it. Because they listen. They're regular listeners.
Oh, there's no question. They have their eyes and ears on this podcast.
Commissioner Emeritus Selig, Bug Selig, listened.
Alan H.
Which is a little upsetting because you'd think he's in the Farmer John, Rolodex, and he still hasn't made that call. It's upsetting.
Yeah, how is he not? Well, you know what? Maybe he was testing us, and then...
we go 5 years without reciting or... what's the exact terminology they use?
It's disseminating.
Disseminating, there we go.
Yeah, without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
We do not have it in writing. They've given us, the hint.
Implied oral consent, but never express written consent. So. Very frustrating.
All right, I'm going to actually steal one more question from the mailbag before we actually get to mailbag, because I thought it put it succinctly. Ryan Bloom asks, why aren't the Dodgers good? This is obviously a little hyperbole. They're still, you're a little below 500, certainly below expectations at this point.
Yeah, they haven't been playing well like the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they're 9-11 as we're recording this. They're playing their 21st game tonight. There's no getting around that. Like, they have played badly. They've still on the season outscored their opponents. There's plenty of signs to consider that they're, there's still something there. I think part of it is...
Okay, go ahead. I was going to break this down for you. Do you want me to... let's tackle things one by one. How about that?
Yeah.
You can tell us if it's something we need to worry about, if it's something that needs to change, or if it's just weird one-month small sample size baseball. Let's start... Mm-hmm. Let's start in the starting pitching department. Let's start with Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, so he's probably, and I didn't think I would say this, but he's probably, the main problem right now of the starters. Mm-hmm. And it's not his command has been all over the place, just off, not getting his fastball over and it's getting hammered basically. The good news with him is it seems like his stuff's still there. He's getting some swings and misses and strikeouts and things like that. He gave up 4 home runs, his last start, and so
more than you want from a starter,
right? He just doesn't give up home runs. Same thing happened with Ryu. He gave up 3 home runs in a start.
Who will we cover?
and so he's actually shown signs of improvement. He was really good on Monday, so he's sort of okay for me. And he as a fifth starter or whatever. But Maeda, the thing with him, I think it's fixable because it's more, it's just like it could be just a tweak here or a pitch selection thing, or like the stuff is fine. It doesn't seem like he's hurt, you know? Okay. So it's just a matter of like solving whatever, like the issue. It's not this guy's bad or broken or whatever. I think so, but he's been a problem. So that said, they're calling up Julio Urias. He's going to start Thursday, and Dave Roberts said before today's game that he's here to stay. So he's like, now is the time. Right? He's in the rotation. So now the issue is
maybe a little before we thought, but not by much.
Yeah. Like I said, and it's been, you know, there's no. I don't. It's been weird how they've sort of handled him a little bit. He did make 3 AAA starts, but more of a sort of build-up way, like he would have done at the end of spring training, which he didn't because he never passed 3 innings in those starts. But it's been like this sort of long, slow, laborious build, rather than like a. It's never going to be like smooth, it seems like, with him. But maybe one of these years it will be. But so they're relying on him, Brandon McCarthy's been really good. Kershaw's been Kershaw, so that's fine. The real problem has been Rich Hill being out, blisters and ineffective. He pitched one start okay, and then the second start was bad, and he got hurt again. So, and then Alex Wood has been okay in his 2 starts.
Don't get too excited. I have more names to list off for you.
So. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it that way.
Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah, so I thought he showed great improvement on Monday.
Absolutely. Is this just a matter of, like, Brendan McCarthy actually tweeted about it a lot, like, a week or two ago, just the difference between a normal offseason where you kind of get your arm ready and when you're actually recovering from an injury. I don't want to say necessarily that the Dodgers rushed him back, but it seemed like he missed a normal spring where he was using the spring to actually come up from the injury, get that velocity back up, back up from an off season.
And I'm not sure how much of that velocity is going to come back.
Sure, absolutely.
He's maybe on average a mile down. But he's been very like the one worrisome thing was like in the Chicago start, his velocity was down, and then it's been back up. So like he's shown a little bit of variance. So like it's not like he's just down, you know. You could sort of chalk that up to him possibly being like a cold day in Chicago or whatever, but it hasn't been down to the point where it's like completely alarming, you know? I just think, but with Ryu, like he sort of accelerated his own timetable. He was like, I think Dave Roberts was talking about this during spring and he said it after too. Like it's the way he's trying to attack guys, throwing pitches with like confidence and conviction, and it's not just like here I'm coming back trying to get this over. He's you could see it, like his pitch mix is there, he's using all of his stuff, his changeup, so that's like a positive sign, and like it was all working yesterday. So there's, I mean, he's 0-4. They lost 2-1. He gave up a run yesterday, so there was a bad luck loss, but like He's going to be relatively okay. Like there's going to be some bad games, I'm sure, but like I think he's going to be relatively fine. But you know, it's something they just going to have to monitor. But I so that's, you know, it's just been an issue. Like I don't know. It's you know, that with all that being said, like they, you know, the non-Kershaw starters were going short. Basically, you know, kind of like last year, but part of that's by design. Like they had the one Brandon McCarthy game. He's gone 6-6, 5-7 in his 4 starts, been really good. The 5 inning game, he could have gone longer, but they like purposely like didn't pitch him longer because that was a weird game because that was a game where they were basically out of relievers and they had to use Chris Hatcher for 3 innings. So it was a little weird that they didn't press McCarthy for one more inning in that game. But, you know, whatever. It's like part of this is by like design. They want to use the bullpen a lot. They don't want to have the starters facing guys third time through unless it's Kershaw, basically. So and then all of a sudden, like they were like the non-Kershaw starters are averaging about 5 innings. It's a little bit over now. The last two games, Ryu went six, McCarthy went seven. I didn't flip that order. But so it's been improving. So that's, I mean, I'm, like, long-term, not really too worried about the starters, like, especially with Urias coming up. Brock Stewart's, like, a month away from probably starting his season to be, like, one of those, like, next guy up. Those makes you feel a little bit better about the depth. So, yeah, I think, I'm not as, I mean, it's been bad, but there's reason to think it's going to get better.
Tangent, just watching Kershaw strikeouts. The only thing better, or the only, the second place after a curveball looking for a strike is those fastballs. Where the batters just immediately just walk away. There's no contention. I got it.
And the slider's been biting a little bit tonight. It's been pretty good. So there was some worry. So as we're recording this, so Kershaw, we'll find out, I'm sure, postgame. He got hit on a comebacker in the first inning. It looked like on his like right leg or backside or something. I don't even know if this is related. But in the third inning when he batted, he hit a ground ball. And then as he's running to first, he, like, pulled up lame. He was favoring his right leg. So immediately, like, it was funny because we're sitting here talking about why are the Dodgers bad or whatever. And they're 9-11. It's really not that big of a deal. But then I sort of wrote, like, every time you think, like, baseball is like, oh, you think you have something to worry about? Here's a real thing to worry about. Like, you know, Clayton Kershaw getting hurt again, like, that would be just, you know, your life flashes before your eyes, basically. So, but anyway, he stayed in, and it looked like when he started the next inning, it looked like he was maybe favoring the right leg on the first few pitches on his follow through, but then he's been actually really good since, so it's been fine. I don't know. We'll find out exactly what happened, I'm sure, after the game, but that's where we're sort of at with the starters.
I have more names for you though. So I think that's it for starters. I think you're comfortable there. Alex Wood had a sort of a roughish outing, but
With Alex Wood though. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think a lot of that can possibly be chalked up to the fact that he's sort of in this middle state.
Yeah.
Times when you have a guy go from their bullpen to the starter, takes him a few starts to really get that groove. I hope he becomes a regular starter. I hope they can figure that out.
He's had two starts, and really only one of them has been knowing 5 days ahead of time that he's going to start next time out. So, like, a real bullpen session, that kind of a thing. But I think – so he's starting Wednesday, and then he might be the odd man out next time. They're slotting Urias in Thursday, giving everyone, like, an extra day of rest. So, really, the decision is it's probably – it could depend on how Kenta Maeda does back home on Friday with another extra day of rest. So, if something's wrong with him, then he might be the odd man out, because they're really going to do only this six-man one time through. So,
it is going to be interesting, because you mentioned specifically that you didn't think it was injury-related with Maeda. But if he does another stinker, like, just what they do with him.
It could be quote unquote injury related.
Yes.
Ed
Colletti's favorite, the Phantom DL.
Yeah, and they'll figure something out. But I don't know. The most common, most likely move to me, I think, is Wood back to the bullpen, which actually strengthens the bullpen a little. But we'll see. I'm not totally sure.
I'm hoping by come July, Alex Wood is just a regular day starter. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got more names for you. Jock Peterson.
So we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out. It doesn't – I mean, the fact that they brought up Bellinger makes it sound like it might be longer than 10 days. But I think part of it is just they just wanted to see Bellinger. With Jock, so there's a – you know, there's reason to worry a little bit with the groin, but I don't. He could be back like within a relatively short time, like.
But even
before he pulled
up lame,
he was struggling.
340. Yeah.
Yeah, he hit the grand slam on opening day. Hasn't done a ton since. He's had a good eye, walked, you know, a good amount. That's what he does. Like, that's, you know, he'll go through periods where he's not doing much. Then he'll start hitting. So I don't know.
Go ahead.
Did you think Adrian Gonzalez was going to get a triple on that?
No, so Adrian Gonzalez just hit a double. Well, that said, he was actually literally the next name on my list. So.
The funniest part about the Cody Bellinger thing is everyone, when you know, you're sort of hinting at Cody Bellinger coming up, like, people just assume that, oh, he needs to bat for Agun, because Agun has not hit at all, like, really. He had two doubles on Sunday in Arizona. One was a bloop double. One was a legitimately hard hit one. This one, I would count that it's also a legitimately hard hit, but really has not hit for any power at all. It's been terrible. So that he's been like a problem that they have to figure out. It seems like he's healthy, but he obviously was battling the elbow tendonitis in spring training. So we'll see. But yeah, it's an issue. That's something that has to be sort of resolved. Like, you know, it was so quick to be like, just DFA him. And you're like, that's not happening. Like, like you said, I think I mentioned this. He has to be Jimmy Rollins forking back completely done. And like, he has way too much goodwill built up in the clubhouse, you know, in the organization to have like a bad month. Even if you count like last year as a bad year, right? Still, it's relative. But if like he would have to be really, really bad for a much longer period of time for them to cut bait with him, you know. So not, I mean, it's something they have to fix, obviously, and it's a problem. But that's to think that they're just going to dump him, that they could rest him more often, again, you know, sit him against lefties, that kind of a thing. But the real solution is figuring out how to get him sort of back.
We kind of already talked about the left field position when we brought up Bellinger, so I'll leave that be for now.
Sure.
I mean, I guess the only thing I'll say, let me pull up some numbers real quick. Andrew Toles is slugging .400, but he's only on basing .278. Hasn't looked super impressive.
And to the point where they even moved him down in the order, so they to change things up, like, they dropped, before Peterson got hurt, he batted leadoff twice against righties, and Toles was down to like seventh. The reason was they wanted to have Toles is pretty aggressive at the plate. It's not that they don't necessarily like him leadoff, but Seager's aggressive, and you know, Robertson didn't want to have like two guys basically seeing like not too many pitches. And then, like, Justin Turner comes up, and like the starting pitcher is like on his fourth pitch or something, you know. So they Jock works the count more, that's the reason why they made that switch. But yeah, Toles has been struggling. He's, you know, working through it. He had such a hot start last year. I think people may have overrated him a little bit, but he's still going to be a contributor, I think. But they just have to figure that out. But I think he's the guy who probably loses the most with a Bellinger call-up, because obviously Bellinger's the lefty, but we'll see. But I think that's where we're at.
The last name I guess I have two more notes. Utley, what do you think about Chase Utley?
Oh, man.
We have a question about this. Let me bring it up so I can put it in the way of...
Wait, is the question, will he ever get a hit again? Is that basically...
You know, it's not far off. Let me find it here. Utley. Scott Bernard asked, just why is Utley playing? I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's, to be fair, as we're talking and Chris Taylor is batting, and Chris Taylor's basically been like tearing the cover off the ball, perhaps not in the sit path that we're talking
Brandon
about.
Johnson has the other Utley question, which is how much defense and leadership is Utley going to have to exhibit to make up for how awful his bat is?
So the issue in question, Utley is 1-29 on the season.
Negative 43 OPS plus.
Oh, for his last...
186 OPS.
Oh, for his last 26, I believe. And he did walk twice last night and scored the Dodgers' only run, so not completely.
He has ran the base as well.
Yeah,
and he has looked like it. Like, you know, like, he knows what he's doing at the plate. Like, you know, he's taking pitches. Yeah. He seems to be taking correctly. But man, the bat on the ball.
No, it's been bad. So I think, you know, ideally he's not going to play a ton right now. Logan Forsythe is out for a while because he broke his foot. But I don't know if that's like a 2 week thing or a 4 week thing. Yeah, toe. Sorry.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah, toe is part of the foot. He broke his. He it's a lower body injury, as they say in hockey. That's the issue. Like I think part of the issue is they thought, you know, giving Utley regular playing time would help him get into more of a routine. So, I mean, he really hasn't still done that yet. So I think he's going to get some rope, you know, but maybe they start playing Chris Taylor more against righties. If that's continues to be an issue, I don't know, but, it's been tough to watch so far.
The last names I have for you, I broke down just Romo and Hatcher, but just in general, there was a weekend, I think, where the bullpen looked a little shakier than normal. I guess it was during the series in Arizona, I should say.
Yeah, so like they had the really bad Friday night where they gave up 9 runs.
Close to a gazillion.
They had the whole bullpen had given up like 8 runs in something like 50 innings before Friday night, and then they gave up 9 runs in one inning. It was pretty bad. Like, that game was so weird. Like, it was a really close game, like, throughout. And then, like, they preserved a tie in the sixth. They had a 1-run lead that somehow they preserved in the seventh. It got helped out by, like, a ball that got stuck in the padding in center field that should have been a triple for Paul Goldschmidt, but it was technically a ground rule double. And he ended up getting stranded. So you're like, oh, Dodgers getting the breaks. And then the Diamondbacks could have scored the tying run in the eighth, but then Tony Perez-Chica, the third base coach, who went to Palm Springs High, by the way, the same high school I went to, played with my brother. But anyway, he tripped, like, as he's sending the runner home, so the runner didn't see it. So he had to stay at third, so you're thinking, this is like the Dodgers getting the luckiest breaks ever in this game, and then, like, right after that, like, the floodgates just opened. So, and then the Diamondbacks just kept scoring, and like Sergio Romo came in, walked, or Luis Avalon walked 2 guys. Sergio Romo walked guys, balked a guy in. It was a terrible inning. And then they had another bad game the next night. So it was just a lost sort of weekend in Arizona a little bit. But for the most part, like, they've been relatively fine. So Hatcher, the issue with Hatcher, like, to me, he hasn't been necessarily bad. I think he's been, they've asked him to do like these like really long, like, he's basically like a mop-up long man right now. And I don't think he's necessarily suited for that role. But the problem is, like, Roberts won't really put him in a close game unless he's, like, out of guys. So I think it's an issue of, Cody Bellinger just got hit by a pitch.
Did he?
Yeah. That's what they were.
Your feed is ahead of mine, so.
They got.
I have mine still as a wild pitch, but. Well, hits the chalk. You were saying the bullpen.
Yeah, so like I think there's an issue. Like, you can make an argument that, if they wanted to cut bait with Hatcher, the reason would be is that Roberts won't use him. So you could try to, run him through waivers and keep him as depth.
This is very funny watching the game while we're recording, because he was hit, but they showed his family, and his mom gave a look of, at least he's on base. Because, it must have glanced the tip of his shoe, because it hit the chalk.
Yeah.
So, and you literally see the chalk dust stir up.
So I had looked up a bunch of stuff earlier, because I was doing, like, first at bat stuff. Oh no! I'm sorry. So I'm on mute. It was an intentional walk. It was because it was a wild pitch.
Okay, we are both on mute, and that makes sense.
Yeah, because I thought it was
Eric. Why didn't we just see 4 balls get thrown? I don't understand.
Yeah. So I
that also explains his mother's look of That's how you should look that up.
I already did.
So here we go.
Dick Nen and Chico Fernandez are the 2 other Dodgers to be intentionally walked in their first game.
There you go. Great company.
I'm tweeting that out.
I looked that up already.
I did.
Yeah, you tweet that out. I'm going to get some questions ready for us. Let me know when you're ready.
All right. Tweeting it out as we speak. This is live.
Live tweeting. We should just do this.
just me talking about what I'm typing.
Our first question is going to be from Dodgers Life 12 whenever you're ready.
Hold on 1 second.
It's a little snarky, as our listeners tend to be. Andrew Tolles, don't go after the first pitch. It's going to be a ball.
What? Yeah.
Oh, he didn't go after it. It was a strike. My bad. This is why I do the podcast. I'm going to say this question slowly.
Go ahead. I'm ready.
And Ryu, question. Like, I'm going to add a question mark here because it should be. Going to give up more home runs than Adrian and Justin Turner hit combined.
Now that's funny. So let's see. Ryu has given up 6 home runs in 4 starts. It was 6 home runs in 3 starts, so he's improving already. But he gave up 8 home runs in like his last full season in like 150 innings in 2014, so it's a bit of a problem. Maeda is up to 7. He gave up 4 home runs his last time out. And what was, who was it, Gonzalez and who?
Gonzalez and Justin Turner.
Oh, see, well, and then to lump Turner into that is also unfair because Turner's been hitting, like, he has a 12-game hitting streak. He's hitting, like, 370 or something. And also he has, like, 9 doubles to lead the National League. He just doesn't have any homers yet. Whereas Gonzalez has not been, he did hit his 5th double tonight, I'll give him that, but has not been hitting. Totally different issues with those two. But that being said, I think Turner's going to end up with, like, in the 25 range, and Gonzalez is probably, he had 18 last year. I'd probably say somewhere around there. So if you look at those, you'd say, like, you'd probably say 40 and a half probably for those two. So
and hit a half home run. That's a double, Eric.
But in terms of setting over-under. I would still take those two. Because I think if it gets to a point where Maeda and Ryu are giving up more home runs,
they won't
I think one of them loses the rotation spot. So it's I think you see one of those max out at like 25.
Ooh, 3-1 count. Don't spoil me. I know you're ahead of me. Scott Bernard, yeah. He asked why is Utley playing. He also asked is Aegon A done. I think we covered that though. And the we're gonna answer. We hope not. Brandon Johnson has a great question. I like this. Over under, yeah. May 8th. Gonzo's 2nd homer, Turner's 3rd homer, Bueller to AA, Will Smith to AA, White to AA, Bellinger called up. You know, I'm going to start with that last one and say under.
Let's go, let's go under that.
Brandon Johnson was laying a $10, 10-1 odds, so pay up $100,
buddy. It's only... you do not want to see this pitch. Oh my goodness. Remember what we said?
We were talking about before we went on air, we were talking about the strike zone has been suspect in the series so far.
Oh no, it had nothing to do with the strike zone.
Well, remember when I told him not to swing?
Yeah.
That it was a strike?
It was like a looping curveball that Andrew Tolles was about 74 minutes late on.
Lord, it was in his glove.
Gonzo's
2nd homer.
Like,
let's take these one at a time. Andrew Gonzalez's 2nd homer.
2 weeks away. I'm going to...
Under, excuse me. It's going to happen after that.
Oh, no, I think he hits 2 by then. So okay. I'll say...
Turner's 3rd homer.
He might only hit 2, but still, he's still going to be hitting.
I'm going to say over.
So I'm going to do the opposite.
Bueller to AA.
I think they're going to be aggressive with those guys.
All those guys? I definitely think with Will Smith.
Well, I mean, it's only 2 weeks away. Like they're.
Yep.
I just don't. It's hard to see them doing that. So
yeah, I feel like May 8th might have been an aggressive line this set. I think if you had set like May 15th,
White seems like the most likely guy to go up.
I'm gonna say White and Will Smith, yes. Bueller, no. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an innings thing or what, but yeah. Man, I just don't really have, honestly, I don't have a read on it. Like, I just think with Will Smith, I think he stays like until June or something.
Okay.
But I could see one of the other two going up before then.
This next Twitter question's name is in the Cyrillic alphabet, so I'm going to use his Twitter name and say Dodger James. How do you come up with all those wonderful puns? This is you, buddy. This is all you.
I have like the dad gene. I just don't have any kids, so like I just have really, really bad puns and humor, etc. So I don't know. I am an uncle 20 times over. All my brothers and sisters have kids, and then even some of them have kids, which is crazy. So yeah. So I've been trying to make kids eyes roll for years. So basically that's my sense of humor. So I don't know. I just try to come up with some. I always go for the joke is my motto.
Nico asks, is there anything that can be trained to coach to help guys hit fastballs better, or is it just a thing that can correct itself over time?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of things can be taught. I think the most important thing is not necessarily the hitting of the fastball. It's the recognizing when the fastballs come in, etc. Like pitch recognition. Like someone, I think Willie Calhoun, I thought he was answering Twitter questions the other day, and he had a pretty good answer. It said, let's see, what was it? Someone said, like, how do you let some pitch go like over the middle or like right down the middle or something like that. And he's like, different pitchers have different styles. You're preparing for all different types of things. So like, it's really this like constant struggle, you know? So I don't know if that answers anything, but I think for me, like, it's just there's no like one rubric of like, here's how you hit, do this, you know? It's like, okay, look at this guy's swing. How does he match up with this guy? How do you get this guy out? How is this guy going to attack you? How do you prepare for that? It's really difficult. So I don't know if it's as easy as just going like, look, all you have to do is look for this and then hit it. Like I don't know much about hitting. So like, maybe I'm not the guy to ask, but that's sort of, you know, that's what I think about it.
Next question, you're going to need to help me with pronunciation, because I kidnap myself trying to learn how to pronounce everyone on the 40 man. Next question is about someone not on the 40 man. Loose Lids asks, is it Okoye?
Okoye.
Okoye.
Yeah.
Mentions he's not on the 40 man. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to look up.
Yeah.
Get some YouTube videos here. He's not on the 40 man, but his OPS is greater than one. After 994 in 2016, how many more injuries before he gets a look?
And the answer to that is like four. I mean, like, honestly, like the thing, here's the thing with Okoye Dixon, really good. But here's the thing with him. So he's like this year's Rob Segundo. Mm-hmm. He's 27. Segundo was 27 last year. Very good AAA hitter. Like, they both have like similar numbers. Last year in AAA, a right-handed masher of lefties, etc. The problem with Dixon, I'm just relating this to Segundin. Like, Segundin plays third in addition to first and the outfield corners, whereas Dixon is really like first base, left field, maybe a little bit of right field. Doesn't have the defensive versatility. Not the best on defense. Maybe he's more one-dimensional as a hitter. He's right-handed, so he's like on the wrong side of a platoon if it comes to that. You know, not that he can't hit righties, but it's an issue. So like, he's not someone who like you're going to bend over backwards to like put on your 40 man. In fact, he's been available in the last two Rule 5 drafts, and nobody took him. That you'd have to keep him on the major league roster all year. You know, obviously. But I'm not saying he's not worthy of it, because he's been hitting. Like, so it's just sometimes it's a matter of opportunity. So like, he's probably in a bad organization right now just because of the depth, you know, to get that shot. But, like, I could see, you know, next, he's going to be a minor league free agent, I'm pretty sure, after this season. So he could definitely get a shot with some team and probably make it. Like, so it's, he's really close. He just needs to, like, Seguin was just on fire. The Dodgers needed a guy last August that happened to be that guy. So if it gets to that point, Okoye Dixon could be that guy this year. It's just they already, like, for instance, Seguin's ahead of him. They still have Brett Eibner. They still have Trace Thompson, who are more able to play, like, all three outfield positions. They might not be as good of hitters. Eibner has some power, though. But that's sort of, you know, where they're at. So he's someone who could hit his way onto the 40-man, but, like, there's enough reason to be to not be like, well, this, it's so obvious we should have this guy up. So, you know, he'll get his – he'll be on – I think he'll play in the majors by next year, maybe not as a regular, but he'll find his way into, like, some sort of major league role by next year, I think.
Well, that's it for Twitter questions. You ready for some questions from our friend, email contributor extraordinaire, Craig Minami?
Yep, absolutely.
Question the first. Which 80... This is the one's going to take me a while, so let me finish. Which 80s number one single describes the Dodgers season so far? A, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. See, he didn't put John in. I keep wanting to insert it in random spots. Just by Bon Jovi. Number one on February 14th, 1987. I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2. Number one on August 8th, 1987. Or Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Number one on March 12th, 1988. And aside, when I was looking at the list, I saw a song titled Jacob's Ladder by Huey Lewis in the News. It was number one on March 14th, 1987. I was wondering if me, if Jacob Birch here, had ever heard of that song, and does I and do I have a ladder right now? I
Wait, is that a...
No, go ahead.
Is that a Phil Collins song or Genesis?
He says it's Huey
Lewis. Is that what he said? News. Oh, Huey Lewis. I'm sorry, I misheard you. Okay, for some reason, it's not familiar, ringing a bell with me, but yeah.
And I was trying to say those songs as in my best Casey Kasem voice as I could. I have heard that song.
Sure.
When you have the name Jacob, which wasn't that common in 86, it got way more common in the 90s, you learn things with your name. I have a stepladder. I used to have a ladder to my bunk beds, but I don't have that anymore. So still haven't found what I'm looking for, well, Living on a Prayer or Never Gonna Give You Up?
Well, first of all, do you listen to the How Does This Get Made podcast with Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Manzoukas, the regular hosts, where they sort of deconstruct bad movies or just make jokes about bad movies or whatever?
I do not. I have been watching the new Mystery Science Theater, but no, I'm not.
Oh. They don't watch it and comment on it. They have watched it and then they just talk about it. Like, and it's usually sometimes in front of an audience, sometimes studio. It's really funny because they're all funny people. But there's like Jason Manzoukas, I almost literally every time tries to somehow get everything like into a. Are you saying we have a Jacob's Ladder situation here or something like that? Almost every movie he tries to compare it to that. It's sort of a running gag they have. Anyway, of those, so it's not Living on a Prayer because we're only 20 games in and we're not halfway there. Get it? Mm-hmm. What was the third song again?
Never Gonna Give You Up. Never Gonna Let You Down.
Oh, yeah, so...
Never Gonna Run Around and Desert You.
Yeah. I unironically love Rick Astley. I don't think there's the concept of getting Rickrolled. Mm. I love his hits, so
So when you click a link and you happen to get Rickrolled, you think consider it a lovable delight.
It's a win, is what it is. So the answer to this is I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Agreed.
That's what the Dodgers are at right now. So
winning percentage like come early July, then maybe we're living on a prayer territory.
Or is there a song called that? Because that's maybe what it is.
Second question. What was the first baseball historical fact you knew from memory? Mine is Babe Ruth hit 714. That was Craig's. Second, when did you learn how to calculate ERA? And he was pretty sure he was between 10 and 12 for that one.
Okay, so I can tell you this, like, historical fact, I can't pinpoint, like, a one, right? Like a, but the one thing that I always come back to is, so a big thing that got me into baseball was baseball cards. And specifically, like, 85 was, like, my first full season covering, or not covering, I'm watching baseball. And I started collecting, right? I mean, like the Doogie Howser of the baseball beat. So I was nine, and so I started collecting baseball cards a little that year. But my first full set completed was 1986 Topps. So let me see if I get this right from memory. Wade, the thing that I took pride in remembering this, and it's going to be bad if I don't remember it now. Wade Boggs in 1985 hit 368 and had 240 hits. For some reason, I saw that. It like, you look at the back of a Wade Boggs card, and those days, they didn't have all the stats on the card, or we just didn't know about them. But you see, like, this giant hits total, like a giant walks total. They didn't really put on base percentage on there, which would have blown my mind. But, like, this crazy average. So, like, those stood out for me. So that's the one thing I sort of remember. Are you looking it up to confirm me, or should I do
it? I am not. I was looking up, confirming the fact that I knew. I have two contenders.
Okay, so that's my fact. Go ahead and tell me yours, and I'll look up if I was right.
Mine was, I didn't have the exact number. I wasn't super nerdy like you two. But just in general, for bar trivia purposes, when I was all of 13 or 14 or whatever, was that at one point Babe Ruth had the ERA record for World Series, and that Don Drysdale had the National League record for hits batsmen. And an intentional walk was a waste of three pitches.
Okay.
No longer true.
I was correct. Wade Boggs, 240 hits, 368. His on-base percentage that year was .450. That was his lowest of the next 4 years.
I would not have bet against you.
Look, just raw, I'm just going to read you this. His batting average from 83 to 88, .361, .325 slump. He didn't win a batting title that year. .368, .357, .363, .366. What the hell? Like, he had 1, 2, 3 seven straight years of 200 hits, and in the last four of those he had over 100 walks. Like, he was a nut. So I was enamored with those numbers. The second question was ERA. Yep. So here, this around that time, like, you know, there was no, like, Baseball Reference, there was no internet. How we got baseball stats was basically like the newspaper, and I think the Sporting News or USA Today Weekly, Baseball Weekly wasn't around yet, but they had they'd publish the stats once a week. So like the season stats, but what the paper had was the league leaders. But it was usually weirdly like a day behind, but I never figured that out because when the newspaper goes to press, at least for their purposes, like, half the games are still going on. Mm-hmm. So, not half, but enough to where they didn't want to include those in the leaders. So it was always trailing a day behind, but I didn't know that. So anyway, so I would take a piece of paper out, look at, the leaders, and then I'd, look at their games played and I'd pace it out over 162 games, like what I thought it was going to be. So their totals, their hit totals, and then same. So, that's how I basically, ERA is included in there because it was part of the thing. But so that's essentially how, I would literally sit there reading the paper and, be writing out these stats. Like, this is what Ryan Sandberg is going to do for the rest of the year. And then some pitchers too. But yeah, that's essentially how baseball cards is well because it had it on the back. But that was essentially my that. So probably 9 or 10.
I would have been a little bit older, closer to the 12 range, and I know I can. Maybe I knew beforehand because I've been going to baseball games for a very long time. But I know when I cinched it was when I started playing a lot of Ken Griffey Jr. baseball.
Oh, nice!
Which I bring up frequently because it along with the Gagne streak, the start of the Gagne streak. Like 03, 02. I liked baseball from like 98 to like during the Ken Griffey days. But I really cinched into sort of a nerd territory during that streak. But anyways, I definitely learned that ERA, how to calculate ERA, because I would frequently give relievers an infinite ERA on the day. because for whatever reason, Ken Griffey, when you would finish a game, it would only give you the game's ERA, which doesn't make any sense. So... Yeah, Danny Graves. Yep. I would always trade for Danny Graves because he was always on the waivers. And then, you know, I'd give my good old Mike Piazza would give some poor sap an infinite ERA. So once I learned that there was such a thing as infinite ERA, I looked it up, I'm sure.
It got better, like, playing baseball stars on Nintendo. I would keep my own stats in Little League, so I always knew, pretty much every time I went to the plate, like what my batting average was. So, pretty bad. That was a pretty dumb.
Batting average, I would get maybe walks and plate appearances versus
kept track. I knew my on base percentage, but I think it was like, but you know, you get paid for batting average, so I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm looking up a little bit more research for a few questions from now, but a little non baseball question for you. Now and Laters or Starburst, both. One is better or neither. I have a very clear answer for this.
Can you repeat the question? I missed part of it.
We're talking about candy.
Sure.
Now and Laters, Starburst. Okay. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Starburst.
Yeah, it's Starburst, not even close. But you know what is a controversial question?
How about later and later?
Yeah. Favorite Starburst flavor? This is very controversial.
It's not. I mean.
It is. This comes up frequently in my tweets a lot.
I like all of them. Strawberry's great. Whatever. Like I'm not.
The correct
I'm not
order
get mad.
Is lemon, strawberry, orange, and cherry. Done.
It's fine.
Lemon's the best.
Okay.
Fourth question: a tribute to a favorite Effectively Wild podcast subject. This is going to get nitty gritty. Predict. Will this season trend remain or go back to the norm? National League teams are averaging 0.21 intentional walks per game. Last season, it was 0.24. Will that number go up or stay below 2016's per game rate?
Man, that's...
So I think you have to imagine that the new rule influences this decision ever so slightly. Very, very, very tiny amount. But there has to be, like... some cases that come up where you just don't want your starter who's kind of like, there's always that weird thing when you ask a guy to walk a guy and then you ask him to pitch again, and he always seems to be a little bit off. That has to factor into some manager's mind, whether that's rational or not.
Yeah.
So you would think that the ease of just don't even bother with it, with any weirdness there, would make this season there, hereforth, just a little bit more intentional walks. That's my thoughts.
It makes sense, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like, I think the difference is going to be so small.
I think you know, it's a long season, so sure. Small marginal difference, and we're talking about, 0.24 versus 0.21?
Right.
I think it might be that amount of a difference.
We're staying under. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going over. He has one more in that vein. The current average team is batting 0.243. The last time the league average was this low was in 1968. Will the NL rebound from this first month? I'm curious to know what the record would have been just for the month of April to see if just colder weather neuters that naturally. Yeah. So traditionally, often the offensive numbers always peak a little bit during the summer. I think you should look that up for us, Eric.
I don't really have a good way of doing
that. All right, you're doing that for next week. I like to hear that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, was there a question like, is it gonna go up? I mean,
same question. Is it going to is it gonna stick like this, or is it gonna go up a little bit?
It's gotta go up. I mean, it's we're getting more and more like strikeout pitchers, and you know, guys are trying to hit more fly balls. So the average is bound to go down a little bit, but it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be that low.
I'll agree with you. Yeah. Last question, and I'm going to add a tack on a bonus trivia question here. As of April 25th, 2017, Mike Trout has 50.4 WAR, wins over replacement, using the baseball reference version. Mm-hmm. He is in his age 25 season. Honus Wagner, legendary Pirate shortstop, sits 10th on the baseball reference's career leaders list at 131 WAR. Will Trout surpass him by the time his career is over?
It's so funny because it seems like, you know, as good as Trout is, like, how do you, with a straight face, forecast somebody to get 80 more WAR? You know,
so, yeah,
like it's crazy. Like,
my only thought is Trout enough of his value comes from his legs, which historically in all sports are sort of the first skill to go.
Yeah.
So I am going to say no, but it would not. I mean, he's such a unique and talented.
He's so great.
So good. It would not shock me in the least to see him make the top 10.
Oh, darn. Like, he only gets 55 more WAR than
the rest
of his
career.
What a loser.
No, please don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Criticism.
But that's just amazing. Like, if you think about it, like, 80 more WAR and it's still to get to Honus Wagner. And he's still super young. So obviously, they've got time. But that's how great, like, baseball is. Like, Trout's been, like, you know, arguably the best ever through his age. Yet there's still so much more to go. Like, you know, it's just crazy. Like, I was convinced, that Ken Griffey was going to break the home run record. Then I was convinced Alex Rodriguez was going to break the home run record. So, and then, you know, things don't always happen as you think they will. So, I would always say the under on that, especially for needing 80 WAR. It's crazy.
So, my next question for you, can you name the top 9 in WAR, baseball reference WAR?
Wow.
I wrote up my guesses, and I'm going to let you know how I fared.
Okay. This is batters and pitchers?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Ruth, and I'm not going in order. I'm just saying Ruth and Bonds.
Give me 1 second. I'm getting my last rank. You're good. Roof is number 1. Bonds is number 4, both of whom I guessed.
Okay. Ted Williams and Stan Musial.
So you went with Williams, who I did as well. He is 14th.
Oh!
Yeah. No, that's why I love this question. There's so many good names that are like top 5.
Okay. Let me find
keep Stan.
Going.
Stan Musial is 11th.
81st. No. Oh, wait. We're doing the top 9?
Yeah, okay, so we know Honus Wagner is 10th. So.
Okay. Jesus. Okay, yeah. So let me think here. Okay, then.
I'm going to say this. It's going to be 8 names that would not surprise you, and 1 name that is pretty consistently the most maybe underrated statistical player that comes up in games like this.
Okay, so let me say it. Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, who I guessed as well, 8th.
Yes. Willie Mays.
Willie Mays, who I guessed as well, is 5th.
So correct me if I'm wrong. We don't have this. I don't have the 2nd and 3rd yet.
You do not have the 2nd or 3rd or 6th or 7th or 9th.
Wait. Okay. I thought I had 9th. Maybe not. Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron is 7th. Who I did, I should have. That was the first name when I saw. I was like, why didn't I think of that?
How is he 7? Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb is 6, who I did have.
Why am I not thinking of these
well,
higher
you,
guys?
You have then? You have Babe Ruth 1st, you have Barry Bonds 4th, Willie Mays 5th, Ty Cobb 6th.
Well, because these two guys, Rogers, Hornsby.
Roger Hornsby is 12th.
God! Okay, damn it. Wait, what? This is, like, making me mad because, like, I...
You're going to kick yourself when you hear the two and three. I guessed one correctly. I did not guess the other. I guess, arguably, I'll give you a hint. Two and three.
Oh,
both...
wait. Go ahead. Before, what about A-Rod?
No. Alex Rodriguez is 16th. Two and three are both pitchers.
Oh, okay. So Walter Johnson and Cy Young?
Correct. Cy Young is second, Walter Johnson is third. I had Walter Johnson. I didn't have Cy Young.
I should have thought of that.
So you are now missing just ninth, which I guess, is the who?
Warren Spahn?
No. Warren. No.
He pitched for a long time. That's the only reason, I guess. Go, just tell me.
Number nine is, like, whenever you're in a doubt and it's a hard sports question, you need an underrated guy that you not going to think of. Tris Speaker.
Ah, that's great.
He shows up in all of these lists, but you never see his name brought up with others.
I'm shocked that, was Mutual the one who made it or the one who didn't?
Mutual did not. San Mutual was.
And Williams. Williams. Holy crap. Okay. Wow, that's a fun question. How many did you get right?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Damn, that's pretty good.
I said Ted Williams, like you did. I said Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle.
See, and I'm...
Mantle is 21st, Lou Gehrig is 18th, Ted Williams is 14th.
I'm kicking myself for not saying Lou Gehrig. I should have said Lou Gehrig, even though he's not on there.
I'm happy funny. All of my names were in the top 25.
That's pretty great. That's a fun question. Yeah, I like it.
And that's how we'll end it. It was a nice little question to end the day there. Dodgers are still ahead 2-1. It's bottom of the eighth.
Whoa, let's not disseminate too much information there.
That's my vague recollection based on the Twitters. So it's Twitter's fault.
So, thanks for listening, everybody. We rarely record, like, during a game. It has just worked out our timing this week.
Happen more often because you usually kind of recorded during the day, but we may be doing this Tuesday night thing a little bit more often. So maybe a thing. It's kind of fun. You and I need to work a little bit better on it. Going, oh my God, did you see that pitch?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only issue is I can't really do it at home games.
Sure.
So
I don't understand. Tell Andy to calm down. You're doing a podcast.
Hey, shut up. What are we going to talk about next week? I guess we can talk about Urias because he'll have a start in by then. We can talk about Cody Bellinger's first week in the majors.
His first five home runs.
You're right. Exactly. Is he going to have a Puig week? Is that what you're going with?
I'm better than that.
Wow, that's pretty good. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you in May.